How do you do? Come with us now, and you'll meet a woman who searched for love, but had little to offer in return but hate. Her search brought her to the depths, and then when she least expected it, she found what she was looking for, when her heart and mind and life were unshackled.
Well, you're back in the land of the living.
I'm afraid so.
We've worked very hard to keep you going.
How long have I been unconscious?
3 days, Mrs. Strauss.
Oh, a long time. But not nearly long enough.
I'd better tell the doctors you're awake.
Good news.
In a hospital, our business is saving lives.
Too bad. Nurse?
Yes?
There's a man, a policeman, sitting in a chair just outside the door of this room.
Now, how do you know?
He just turned to look in here.
He shouldn't have done that. We don't want you to be upset.
Is he here because I'm here?
Yes, Mrs. Strauss.
Why?
Well, as I understand it, you're under arrest. When you leave the hospital, you'll be moved to jail.
From Chicago, the Pacific Garden Mission brings you Unshackled, the unique dramatic series that tells the true stories of real people. After well over a century of unbroken service, Chicago's old lighthouse continues to offer help to homeless people. Help includes food, clothing, lodging, medical and dental care, and counsel. Counselors do more than say that material needs are met. Concerned about the total person, they deal also with spiritual needs, which are much greater. The goal is regeneration. This program series, begun in 1950, is now heard in almost every nation on earth and continues to reach out to more and more listeners. This growth has come to be as some who listen have made it their business to help make it possible for others to hear the program that makes you face yourself and think. We know that one of the needs of the human heart is to love and to be loved. Without this, there's an emptiness that cannot really be filled by other lesser things. This was the experience of the woman whose story we have to tell. You'll learn about it as we bring you the true story of Leona Strauss, right now on Unshackled. The suicide attempt that came close to succeeding and brought Leona to a hospital room guarded by a policeman was the last of several. Years earlier, after a similar effort, she knew she needed help and sought it in the conventional way.
What stands out in your memories of childhood, Leona?
Hating my father, Doctor.
And why did you hate him?
Because he was a hateful person.
That doesn't tell us much.
No, I suppose not, but it's true. Maybe I should say that he was hate-filled. He made a great deal of money and stopped at nothing to do it. He cared for only two things in this world, himself and money.
What about your mother?
Charming, gracious, and I think just as much my father's victim as I was.
In what way?
I think she was nothing more to him than visible evidence of his success. A lovely home and a beautiful wife who wore fine clothes.
You'd say he was a good provider?
Of anything he could provide with a checkbook, yes. Of anything else, no.
You went to good schools?
Oh, the best. Private schools and very expensive. All the girls had plenty of spending money. Well, they needed it, after all. Opium was always a very expensive drug.
Opium? That sounds very exotic by today's standards.
Well, the year was 1927. I was 14. Opium smoking was more prevalent then in some circles. I smoked my first pipe in an Oriental inn down in Greenwich Village.
And you liked it?
Oh, yes. It helped me to dream. Dream of being loved.
You speak of love. You've been married?
Marriage, yes. Love, no. You see, in our culture then, it was possible for a wealthy father to purchase a husband for his daughter.
Purchase?
That's what I call it. The polite word is dowry. I was still quite young when my father announced that he had made all the arrangements to provide me with a suitable husband.
You see, Leona, I'm thinking only of your best interests. You're young and impulsive. I wouldn't want you to marry an unsuitable person. Now, the young man that I've selected for you is entirely suitable. With the dower money as a foundation, and with my influence helping him to find a well-paying position, there should be no financial problems. I hope you appreciate what I'm doing.
And did you appreciate your father's thoughtfulness in getting you married?
Not very much. One thing about that marriage, though, it made my father look pretty foolish.
How was that?
Well, it wasn't long after the wedding that the bridegroom disappeared. And the dowry money disappeared with him. My father paid for the divorce, too.
Hmm. Did you marry a second time?
Oh, yes. But if I hoped to find real love, I was disappointed.
Was that your fault or the fault of your husband?
It could have been mine, Doctor. After all, I was a true child of my father. He was hateful and so was I. More than anything, I hated him. I demonstrated that when I thought I might make him a grandfather.
How did you demonstrate it?
By taking steps to see that there was no grandchild. Oh, not once, Doctor, but four times. It wasn't easy for my husband to understand. I'm sure he didn't think my reasons were good enough.
Leona, you just aren't making sense.
Not to you, maybe. But I make plenty of good sense to myself.
We're young, we have a good home, we have enough money, we're in good health. What's wrong with having a child?
A lot of things.
Give me one good reason.
A pleasure. One good reason is my father.
What?
I am my father's only child. I have a chance to end his bloodline once and for all. Do you think for one moment I'd let some silly little accident of nature spoil my opportunity?
You call it an opportunity?
Well, certainly. When I die, my father's line dies with me. You see how much I hate my father, Doctor?
Yes, I'm beginning to see. You say this happened four times?
That's right. But I stopped it every time.
You've said your father is a hateful, self-centered man. Now, are you being fair when you say that?
Mm-hmm. Well, why don't I let you judge for yourself?
How?
Let me tell you about my first suicide attempt. I was quite young and dramatic. If I had it to do now, of course, I'd use pills. Lots of pills. At that time, though, I wanted something more impressive. Cut wrists seemed suitable.
And that's the method you chose?
That's it.
Where were you?
At home. Well, my father's home. That's what brought out the worst of his personality. I was found in time so that they were able to save my life with very little trouble. Afterward, though, my father made me wish I had succeeded. He acted as though the whole thing was a plot against him.
Everything you do turns out badly. For no reason at all, you saddle me with a doctor and hospital bills, emergency room charges, all the rest of it, in my beautiful Oriental rug. The bloodstains may never come out of it.
I understand the hate where your father is concerned. By the way, whatever became of your use of opium?
Oh, it continued and grew. I drank heavily when I wasn't using drugs.
Any other drugs beside opium?
After a while. heroin. After all, it's derived from opium. But I think I've always really preferred the opium pipe itself.
Why?
The dreams. The lovely, impossible dreams.
Can you remember any of them?
Of course. The one I enjoyed most of all, and always hoped I'd dream again.
Can you describe it?
I could, in great detail.
Well?
No, Doctor. I don't know you nearly well enough.
That's supposed to be some kind of joke?
Yes, Doctor, I'm joking. But the dream was no joke, let me tell you.
Which dream?
The one where I was honeymooning with Clark Gable. If I knew where that opium came from, I'd buy the poppy fields.
You know, of course, that you can't live in a fantasy world.
Believe me, it's better than the real one.
I suspect, Leona, that if you made the effort, you could make the real world deliver up most of the things you might want of it.
And just how would I do that?
Well, what line of business do you understand?
Oh, my father's, I suppose.
And what was his line of work?
Real estate.
Good. It's very well suited to a woman. I know several women who are making a very fine living in real estate.
And you think I should try to do the same?
I'm not going to recommend it. That isn't my business. But I'm sure you'd enjoy greater independence.
Well, maybe it's a good idea. I'll see if I can do anything about it.
Leona was energetic, intelligent, and ruthless. Within a short time, she had become established as a success in real estate. Her organization grew until she had a total of some 55 employees. She led an active social life, moved in the better circles, and was prosperous and popular. One thing was still missing. Leona was unloved. Leona's early experience, when her father bought her a husband, but no one could buy love, should have warned her. Apparently it didn't. Like many another well-to-do, middle-aged widow, Leona discovered she could enjoy the company of a younger man for a price.
Leona, darling, this is a beautiful car.
I wouldn't know, but if you say...
Hang on! I'll show you what they mean by acceleration. How do you like it?
Wow, that's wild. Now I know how they put a man on the moon.
You've never ridden in anything even moderately like that car, Leona.
I believe it. After all, I was told the price of it.
Worth every penny, too.
You mean every penny I've got?
Oh, darling. Be thankful I'm the kind of man who understands and appreciates the better things.
What do you mean, better? If that isn't the best at that price, then somebody's being ripped off.
Not a bit of it, Sherry.
And guess who's getting ripped?
Oh, baby, don't be cynical. Please.
Do you know you have beautiful eyes when you plead like that?
If my eyes have any beauty at all, it's because they're filled with you. And beauty begets beauty.
I wish you were sincere.
I am, darling. Will it be all right?
Will what be all right?
Can I drive back to the car agency and hand them a check for the full price?
Yes, honey. Give me a minute to write the check.
Leona later admitted to having been altogether obsessed with her young man, so much so that she was unable to refuse him anything.
You mean you want to ship the car to France?
Yes, but only for a short time.
Well, why to France?
So that it'll be there waiting for me when I get off the plane at Paris.
I'm not sure I understand.
It's very simple. I wish to drive from Paris to Switzerland.
You're sending the car ahead by boat, and early enough so that when you fly over, the car will be waiting for
you. As I said, very simple.
And then you're driving from Paris to where?
To Zurich, of course. I always have my clothes made in Zurich.
And, you'll need money to pay the tailors, of course.
It's really a great bargain. They do such good work, and their prices are moderate.
Well, I'll say one thing, honey. With your shoulders, you do a lot for the suits. Okay. I'll wind up in the poorhouse, but go ahead and plan your trip to Switzerland.
Leona, you are a beautiful person.
Leona was running into deep financial trouble. In a moment, we'll learn how deep. Now, here's Superintendent Harry Saulnier of Pacific Garden Mission. Harry, we're moving into a new season. To go with it, do you have any suggestions for our listening friends?
I have one I'd like to emphasize. That is, come and visit us at the Olight House.
Is that an invitation to groups or just to individuals?
It's an invitation to everyone. The door is always open, and we're always prepared to receive visitors.
Prepared to receive a really large group?
Yes, but if such a group plans to enjoy a meal with us, we'd better know in advance so that the kitchen people can plan accordingly. Individual visitors, groups of four or five, though, can come with no warning at all and will offer as much hospitality as possible.
In the case of group visits, such as people from church or Sunday school, do you have any special recommendations?
Yes, I do. One of them is to suggest that the best day for a visit is probably Saturday. There are several good reasons, including the fact that it is probably a day when most members of the group are free from work.
Would you suggest a suitable time of day?
Well, by arriving early in the afternoon or by mid-afternoon, the group will have time for tours of Pacific Garden Mission. Very often, the person who shows them around will be one whose story has been dramatized on Unshackled in the past.
And then late in the afternoon, we have our Saturday Unshackled recording session. Our guests can sit in as members of a studio audience during the production, and that's something that's pretty well ceased to exist. A live studio audience at production of a radio drama.
Next comes a delicious fellowship supper, served in the big dining room, and then the famous Saturday night testimony meeting. Good testimonies, good music, but no preaching.
Plan to visit Pacific Garden Mission. To make arrangements for a group, you may write to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number, area 312-922-1462. It was in 1971, when Leona was in her late 50s, that life really began to close in. A more or less routine physical checkup revealed a serious problem.
When's the last time you had a chest X-ray, Mrs. Strauss?
I don't think I can remember. Several years, at least.
Then what we've discovered can have been with you for some time.
What we've discovered? What's that?
You seem to be a very strong, tough-minded person. What we've discovered is lung cancer.
Well, and I've never smoked a pipe of Yen Shi in my life.
I beg your pardon?
Never mind, Doctor. It's an in-joke with a small and rather select group.
There's really nothing to joke about. This is serious.
Listen, Doctor. I'm probably the meanest, rottenest, and most unprincipled patient who's ever walked into this clinic. Don't worry about me. Save your sympathy for that growth on my lung.
I don't follow you.
I'm not going to worry about the cancer.
Mrs. Strauss, you'll gain nothing by putting your head in the sand like an ostrich.
Making jokes about my name, Doctor?
No. Please, don't misunderstand me.
And don't misunderstand me. I'm more evil than this growth on my lung, and my own rottenness will destroy it.
Leona was wrong about that, of course. She was wrong about other things, too. In an effort to satisfy the insatiable demands of her young man, she turned to what is sometimes called white-collar crime.
It's true. I ruin people financially without the least bit of conscience and crushed whatever came into my path. The time of reckoning came on the morning of Easter Sunday, 1972. At 5 in the morning, I went over my accounts and business records and found only disaster. For weeks, I had pretty well ignored the problems that stared out from every page and every bank statement. Now, though, I was alone. My young man had gone. I could look into a mirror and see why. And now I could look into my financial records and foretell the future. There's no way out. None at all. If this weren't a Sunday, I'd expect to hear from the DA's office today. Well, there's one way out. I failed with it before, but I won't fail this time. That's my defense. Let the DA take it or leave it. These are my little red friends, and they're going to put me where the law can't touch me.
Leona was mistaken again. After 3 days of unconsciousness, she awakened in the hospital to find herself under arrest. As soon as the doctors released her, she was placed in a maximum security jail cell, and there she was visited by a chaplain.
Ma'am, is this your first time in a place like this?
It's none of your business, but the answer is yes. Why?
Then it must be a very difficult experience for you.
You figured that out all by yourself.
Ma'am, you can talk rings around me. Almost anybody can, but I'm here to help you.
Yeah, you got a hacksaw in your pocket?
No, ma'am. Just a Bible. You see, I'm the chaplain.
Then take a walk.
What?
On your way. I'm Jewish.
Wonderful.
What?
You say you're Jewish. So is Jesus.
Leona was convicted and sentenced to 10 years in the state farm for women. With all personal effects gone, she found herself totally alone. Days passed, and her depression increased. And then, from a long way off, a sound penetrated her quarters.
That's beautiful. I love it.
At that moment, Leona's eyes fell on the one book in the room. It was a Bible. And since it was the only thing available to read, she opened it. Not long after that, she was visited by the woman chaplain, a Miss Bailey.
What's the worst part of all this, Mrs. Strauss?
Oh, that's easy. The fact that no one in all this world cares whether I'm in here or not. And that almost no one even knows.
That's not true, though. God knows your troubles.
I doubt it.
Can I read to you from Genesis, the first of the 5 books of Moses?
Go ahead.
When Hagar, who was Sarai's maid, was expecting, the Bible tells us this. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man, his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me.
Thou God seest me?
That's it. And he does. And his son Jesus calls to you.
Forget it. I'm Hebrew.
So, Jesus loves you. He says, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Leona read in the Bible and became overcome by the magnitude of God and the burden of her own wickedness. At last, she asked the chaplain if she could attend chapel services just as a spectator.
Jesus, speaking to the Pharisees and the scribes, told the parable of the lost sheep. Here it is in the Word of God. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And then Jesus made the point of the parable very clear. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Ladies, Jesus loves you.
Here is what Leona wrote not long after that morning in the prison chapel.
I am in a penitentiary, but I am not in a prison. At last, I am rid of the chains that I forged for myself. Jesus stood at my door and knocked. I heard his voice, and with shaking hands, I opened the door, and he came in. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, for he loves me.
Leona's new freedom was physical as well as spiritual. On parole, she served as guidance counselor for girls at a Christian academy. She was sponsored by a church as a home missionary, and she became a speaker for the International Board of Jewish Missions. The woman who had been denied love all her life found that she was filled to overflowing by the grace, the power, and the love of God. Leona has now gone to be with the Lord, but her last years were all victory and freedom. Whatever your need, the living Lord who loves you as he has loved Leona can give you new life. To counsel with someone who is concerned about you, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, area 312-922-1462. If you listen in Europe, you may address Unshackled, care of Transworld Radio, 175 Tower Bridge Road, London, Southeast 1, England. If you listen in the Philippines, you may address Unshackled in care of the Pacific Mission, Post Office Box 1467, Manila. This week, take a moment to write and tell us that you listen, and do ask others to listen also. Heard in the true story of Leona Strauss were Edie Howard as Leona, with Bunny Catcher, Russ Reed, Jack Bibbins, and Paul Barnes. Original music, Lucille Becker. This is Jack O'Dell, and I've written the story as I've received it from those who knew Leona well. Unshackled's produced by Pacific Garden Mission, to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it really can be filled to overflowing. Take time to write and let us hear from you. And if you need spiritual help now, you may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago, area 312-922-1462. Someone who cares is waiting to receive your call. Area 312-922-1462. 6-2.